Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. In Illinois and 9 other states across the country, recipients of Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, can obtain a license to work as a registered nurse. Missouri, however, isn't among those 10 states. But that doesn't mean colleges and universities in Missouri don't accept Dreamers as nursing program students. Alondra Orozco is a recent graduate of one such program in the St. Louis region. She joins us now to share her story. Alondra, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So Alondra, you and your family moved to Missouri when you were 5 years old. What is it that brought your family to the St. Louis area?
I'm not exactly sure why this specific area, but simply, I guess, job opportunities. And it's a lot safer. I guess that was the biggest reason why we moved to the U.S. in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And you moved here from?
Chihuahua, Mexico.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how big is the family that you came with?
It's pretty small. It's just my parents. Well, back then it was just me with my parents. Mm-hmm. And an aunt and an uncle and a cousin.
Yeah.
And then the family has grown here.
Right. Siblings who were born here.
Yeah, two
right.
of them. Mm-hmm.
What is it that inspired you to become a nurse in the first place?
It's actually kind of weird because I know a lot of people have the answer of, oh, I don't know, I just wanted to help people, or a specific story within their family or something, you know. Personally, I just kind of always knew. I saw the CNA program in high school. I attended Rittner High School, but then I heard about the North Tech program in Florissant. Mm-hmm. And sophomore year, you could go and kind of do like different programs to see what you would like to do. They have automotive, they have all types of, you know, different areas of work. And I said, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to wait till junior year till I can jump into the CNA program. I did 2 years of it, half day at North Tech and half day at Rittner, and I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the clinical, the hospital, the everything.
So you knew what you wanted to do, I mean, relatively early.
Absolutely.
And then you enrolled at St. Charles Community College for nursing school, and your goal then was to become a registered nurse after graduation. So Alondra, when is it that you started there? You know, what year and sort of what stage of your life? And then once you began your studies, what did you imagine your trajectory would be?
I certainly didn't imagine this, but I graduated high school in 2019. That June, and that August, I was already taking my prerequisites to start the nursing program at St. Charles Community College.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I just thought it was that, you know, get my prerequisites over, keep my GPA up and everything to be able to get accepted into the nursing program. And once I got in, do the 2 years of the program, take my boards, and become a registered nurse and work here.
Yeah. Was there a reason you decided to pursue this at St. Charles Community College as opposed to somewhere else?
I mean, me and my family moved over to O'Fallon that same year. In 2019, it was very close. And honestly, it has a very great reputation for the nursing program. They have, I mean, anybody that you really speak to will tell you St. Charles Community College is a great school.
Yeah.
And I agree. I mean, I had a very pleasant experience.
Right. There. Now, if we fast forward to this spring, you're wrapping up nursing school finals. What is it that your instructors and advisors told you about what should come next?
I mean, because we didn't really know about this, I wasn't like singled out. It was kind of the whole class was already applying to take our boards in Missouri, right? And that's when we started looking at the application and everything. There's a certain section where you have to, I guess, prove your legal status here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I kept looking through it, and I'm like, well, I'm not finding anything that matches me. In one application, it does give you the I-766, the authorization to work, which I do have.
Right.
But once you actually try to apply, that's not something that they're willing to take. And when you call the Board of Nursing and everything, they specifically said if you do not have a green card or a U.S. citizenship, you cannot get licensed in Missouri.
How is it that you were finding that out after all the time that you spent, you know, going to classes, doing clinicals, speaking with advisors and counselors? I mean, how is it that you were finding that out so late in the game?
I honestly have no idea. I wasn't expecting this at all. I thought I was just going to be able to, you know, just like everyone else in my class.
Mm-hmm.
But this was like a complete shock. Nobody knew about this. Nobody knew. I would call the Missouri Board of Nursing. Nobody knew what DACA was. I had to keep explaining to people what that was. They kept transferring me over to another, you know,
department
or licensing person. No idea what it is. And even with the school, my professors had no idea what this was. Like, I guess they've never gone through this either, so I don't know.
Now, we did reach out to St. Charles Community College to ask how they advise students who fall under various categories of non-U.S. citizen in their nursing program. And we were told that no one who's privy to all that information was available for comment at that moment. Now, Alondra, at this point, how much time and money has been spent toward your goal of becoming a registered nurse? Let's start with the time part of it.
I mean, the time part, it's your whole life. Nursing school is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
It's brutal. You have, they hold you to a very high standard, as they should, of course, right? But you have no time to work. You really have no time for anything else other than your studying and your clinicals and all of that. So,
And on the money side of things, what do you figure you've spent to get to the point where you could apply for licensure?
As a DACA recipient, I don't know if people are aware that we don't qualify for FAFSA at all.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get any government assistance here in Missouri. I don't know if that's different in other states. But everything has to be out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately for DACA recipients also, we don't pay, even though we reside in St. Charles, we've lived here, you know, we pay out-of-state, I believe it's out-of-state tuition,
mm-hmm.
so it's even higher.
It's equivalent, right.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, every semester was about $3,000 to $4,000,
mm-hmm.
and it's 2-year, a 2-year program.
Right.
So.
And when you say we, who has been supporting your pursuit of this profession?
My parents.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm the first person in our family to go to college, and this is all they've really wanted, you know, to see me pursue what I want, what I love. And the deeper I got into nursing school, the deeper I would find out that I really, really loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And they would see how excited I would come home after clinical and, hey, I learned this, I learned that, I got to do this, I got to do that. And then just kept pushing them towards supporting me through all of it.
Right. And I think one thing to note here as well is that the NCLEX, which is a board examination, I mean, the fee for that, let alone the brain power and the
yes.
study time that has to go into it, how much does the NCLEX cost? And it is an exam you've taken and passed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time that you take it, you have to pay $200 to be able to test.
Right. Whether you pass or not.
Yeah, pretty much. If you fail, you have to pay those $200 again to be
mm-hmm.
able to test again.
So, Alondra, what ended up happening? What have you been told and by whom around why you cannot get a license here in Missouri?
Not much. I want that to be a question that I ask. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't even know who to ask, you know, on why don't you guys allow this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have everything that should be, you know, enough to be able to get licensed here. I said if it's a safety thing, we get background checks every year and a half, every 2 years, every time that we renew our DACA.
Mm-hmm.
We pay our taxes. We're here legally. We do everything right. And yet we can't get licensed.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I'm hearing from you, you're a person who takes initiative. And I can imagine how frustrating and even demoralizing it must have been to do all the work that you were supposed to do, only to discover at the end of what should have been like a triumphant chapter for you, that there was so much more to do. And you decided to keep pushing, from what I understand, pushing forward to figure out how you can be a licensed registered nurse in Missouri. And one of those had to do with Kansas. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
So once we had the strict no from Missouri saying, no, you cannot be licensed here, we did some research and we looked at surrounding states that would allow me to take my NCLEX. And with Kansas being a compact state, I can get a license over there because all they ask for is a social security number, right, which DACA recipients have. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to get an apartment over there. My initial thought was, okay, well, I'll just move over there and test over there and get my multi-state license. Uh-huh. And then I'd be able to practice in Missouri as well. At the moment, we thought that I could simply endorse my license from Kansas to Missouri, right? And then shortly after I got my license in Kansas, when I tried to apply for endorsement in Missouri, they again said no, mm-hmm. due to not having the green card or U.S. citizenship.
And to clarify, a compact state, what does that mean?
So there's 42 states in the nursing license compact, which simply mean if you have a multi-state license in one of those states, you can practice in any of the other 41 without having to get another license in that state.
Mm-hmm. So Missouri did say no to you, but what was the other, issue that you ran into, or what was it that you were told you needed to do in order to practice nursing in Missouri?
The only way that I can practice in Missouri is if I reside in another state.
And you mentioned getting an apartment. I mean, was that part of what you were thinking, or was that connected to some other practical issue?
This was all, it was the only way that I could see for me to test. On top of the legal things, you have the worry that, no nursing student is going to say, oh yeah, I'm going to pass the NCLEX on my first try. Or I don't want to wait months to figure this out and then be able to take my NCLEX. I want to take it fresh out of nursing school, Mm-hmm. And the only way that I was going to be able to do that is to take it in another state. And with Kansas being closer and having it be a compact state, in order to even get your multi-state license over there, you have to reside in Kansas. And that's not just, oh, yeah, hey, I live in Kansas. No, it's presenting a driver's license from Kansas with your address on it and everything. So while I was studying for my finals and all of my exams and everything, while I was still trying to pass nursing school, I had to look for an apartment over there.
Right.
And I had to do the drive to Kansas and get my driver's license there. And it was a mess.
So that's not the end of the traveling that you did. Because mm-hmm. as I understand, you recently took a road trip to Springfield, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you head there?
So once I found out that I could not endorse my Kansas license into Missouri, I said, well, you know what? Illinois is closer.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have to get a license in Illinois, then that's exactly what I'm going to do in order to keep living in Missouri. So it's an hour drive, to cross over to Illinois from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I found out that Kansas is not going to be the option unless I lived over there, I immediately endorsed my license to Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
It took about a month, and I was getting very impatient, refreshing on the website, and it kept saying pending. So I said, let's not wait anymore, and I drove 2 hours to Springfield, and in less than 15 minutes, I walked out with my license.
Mm-hmm. Less than 15?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how did that feel?
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe it. They handed me the paper, and I said, what is this?
Oh. And what did you do with that paper?
Oh, my gosh. I was so excited. My boyfriend went with me, and I was like, I hid it from him at first, and I'm like, look at this. as soon as we got on our way back, I called my parents immediately, sent them a picture of it, and it was really nice. Because
yeah.
Then that gave me, hope that I could actually start working in what I love now, right? And so as of now, I'm looking for jobs over there at the
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk about some of the workarounds that need to be taken into consideration and pursued, particularly around some of these laws in different states. Stay tuned. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation about St. Louis resident Alondra Orozco's push for Missouri to allow DACA recipients, among other non-U.S. citizens, to get nursing licensure in the state, even amid a serious nursing shortage. We'd like to bring another voice into this conversation, someone who can provide insight into what Missouri law says about who can and can't become registered nurses, and what that means for people who are not in the nursing profession. Kelly Gillespie is a professor at the Center of Health Law Studies at St. Louis University and a currently licensed registered nurse. Kelly, welcome to the conversation and to the show.
Thanks.
So I noticed that as Alondra was speaking, you were doing a lot of nodding, a lot of smiling. Have you personally heard stories that are similar to Alondra's? You know, how have those played out?
Yeah, so I was aware, you know, there are some schools in some states, like in Illinois, for example, that have done a lot of work with students and actively recruited DACA recipients into their health sciences programs. I have to admit that when I heard the story, it hadn't been on my radar too much, but I think this is the kind of thing that probably quietly happens a lot of the time, and we don't hear about it because it's really hard and takes a lot of money, effort, connection to challenge a decision of an agency like the Board of Nursing or the Missouri Division of Professional Registration.
Right.
And so you don't hear about it. Individuals know about it. They may talk among themselves, but it just doesn't make it out into the public sphere because folks are engaged in all these incredibly labor-intensive workarounds.
Right.
Right.
Well, and to that point, Alondra, you said that there wasn't anyone, to your knowledge, at St. Charles Community College in the same position as you, you know, as a DACA recipient, but
That's
there
right.
are others out there.
Absolutely. When I did the TikTok video and it kind of went viral, I started getting a crazy amount of messages saying, hey, the same thing happened to me in this year, or with my LPN license or with my RN license. And I'm like, well, what did you guys do, right? Well, they moved states.
We're going to come back to that, actually. Now, producer Maya Norfleet reached out to Missouri's Nursing Board to inquire about why the state prohibits non-U.S. citizens like Alondra from obtaining certain levels of professional licenses, and that includes licenses for registered nurses. The director of communications cited U.S. code. Quote, the Board of Nursing is prohibited from granting professional licensure to a non-eligible non-citizen of the United States. We are required to follow the federal law, unquote. So Kelly, let's start there. What law is the Missouri Nursing Board referencing, and what does it say beyond the part that I've just quoted here?
Right. So it is true. You know, states do have to follow federal law, particularly about immigration. That is a fact. And they're referencing a particular piece of legislation from the late 90s that says people who are not, do not have authorization to work or not here legally are not eligible for certain public benefits. And those public benefits are defined to include, among many other things that you might think is conventional benefits, to include professional licensure. However, the piece of the story and the reason why many states do allow folks in these situations, DACA recipients, to be licensed is that there's a subsection of that law that says a state can opt out of this prohibition. They can take an affirmative action to opt out, okay? And so that's what the states where it is allowable have done, mm-hmm. and they've done it a couple of different ways.
So then what do you make of the nursing board's why, sort of in response to Alondra's story, especially because there are states that do allow non-citizens to be licensed as RNs?
Right. I mean, I think their statement is truthful, but it doesn't convey the whole story, right? If a law was passed in Missouri, like has been in many other states, and not just in a variety of states, not just states we might view as sort of more immigrant friendly, you've got a whole range of states. Arkansas has an affirmative law, passed mm-hmm. legislation that says DACA recipients can become registered nurses. Other states like Illinois have laws that say DACA recipients and other folks can obtain all kinds of professional licenses. Mm-hmm. So it can take different forms. But yeah, there definitely is a way a state could do this, right?
I was told that even in Illinois, an I-10 number is enough to take your boards.
Yeah. Yes. So in Illinois, they have extended it much mm-hmm. more broadly, whereas some states have just called out DACA recipients,
exactly.
right? So
mm-hmm.
they have, and a state can do that. They can shape their law. But those are all things that would qualify as an affirmative opt-out under federal law.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what goes through your mind as you hear that, Alondra?
Again, it's the big question that I want to ask. I mean, you're losing nurses in Missouri during a nursing shortage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're even hiring international nurses.
Yes.
When I've been here since I was 5 years old, I started kindergarten here and have finished college. All I know is the American school system. Mm-hmm. I'm fluent in English. I have everything that they would, you know, need or want.
Right.
Other than that little part that they could decide to change.
And how does nursing shortage play into this, Kelly? I mean, do the states that have taken affirmative action on this, do they have bigger nursing supply issues than?
Well, I would have to dig a little deeper, but mm-hmm. I know that, you know, South Dakota is one of the states, right, that allows certain licensures. And, you know, they may have shortages that are more extensive in certain rural areas. I actually don't know that answer, mm-hmm. but I do know that across the states, right, and Missouri is no exception, we have serious healthcare workforce shortages. Mm-hmm. And it does seem like a compelling policy reason that is not, you know, should span across political stripes, right?
Right.
To say we want people who have been trained here in our state, mm-hmm. right, who know our folks, who have been familiar with the system for their whole life, right, to be able to further contribute positively to our state, our economy, and our people,
yeah.
right? And it doesn't seem like that should be something that people would argue about.
Right.
Right.
We have Dan, who's calling from St. Louis with a question specifically for Alondra. Dan, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. You know, I'm a nurse too, so we can use all the help we can get here in Missouri to help us change these rules for you. My question is, I'm not sure if how this affects like compact states and how that would, if you get a license in a compact state, if you could work in Missouri then, or if you were working at like a federal facility that don't require you be licensed in the actual state you're working in, just somewhere in the U.S.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure.
So, Dan, are you asking then about, I think about federal nursing work?
Yeah, well, and you know, if you're a federal nurse, you could be licensed in Hawaii and work in Missouri.
Mm.
But you might need a citizenship for that.
Okay.
But also there's this thing called compact states. So if you have a license in one state, then you can have you can work in all these different states.
Right, right.
And it might be a good question for your other guest, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for Kelly, right. Do you have any insight into that?
Well, that's interesting. Like, I hadn't actually thought about that.
Uh-huh.
Like, Dan, that's a great question about the federal workforce, right? Because VA employees and things can be licensed in other states. But so I'd have to look, and it may in fact require
U.S. citizenship.
It may. I don't know, but that's worth looking into, right? The second part, and I think you looked into this, right, with even if you're licensed in a compact state, mm-hmm. you still have to reside in that state. Mm-hmm. And then you could work in Missouri, which is, you know, again, these sort of state-by-state carve-outs do create this kind of silliness, right, where you're perfectly qualified and able and safe to practice nursing, you know, just if you cross the border, right? Or you could even be doing it here. It just depends on where you live, right? And it's just sort of nonsensical.
Right. Yeah. So I want to make sure we get to the other work that you are doing, Alondra, and that is through a petition. And that is something that you've done through change.org. And currently, there are well over 16,000 signatures on this petition, and it has to do with getting Missouri to change its law. I mean, in what way is this petition for you, but also for other people?
I think it shows the fact that it's not just me wanting to make the change. Once I started cheering and everything, they do. I mean, a lot of people have come forward and said, this is ridiculous. I mean, absolutely, I will sign in a heartbeat, you know, because this is not fair. And personally, I wanted not just for me to make this, you know, a big deal and make it known, but simply for other people who are DACA recipients in Missouri right now, who are not being told, like me, that we were not able to get licensed in Missouri. If we had the choice, maybe go to another state, right? Maybe plan things out before you're at the finish line and then hit with this.
Mm-hmm.
That's really my biggest wish for this not to ever happen to anybody else.
In 25 seconds, for people who say, why don't you just move? Why do you want to stay in Missouri?
I've lived here my whole life. I've been here since I was 5 years old. My family's here. A family situation, it's not like you can just get up and leave. Specifically, I mean, in a Hispanic household, we're pretty tight with each other. I just recently moved out of my parents' house, but I'm over there almost every week. Unfortunately, right now, we have a situation with my grandfather. I don't feel like I can prioritize leaving to another state to do what I love over my family.
And how would it change your life to be able to stay here and be a nurse?
It would be perfect. Mm-hmm. It would be perfect. Again, I went through nursing school here. During your clinicals, you learn the charting systems. You learn everything, right, with whatever company, SSM, VJC, whatever. And it's just crazy to me that I'm going to have to go to another state and learn all of that over again and not have any type of connections with that state just to be able to work.
Alondra Orozco is a recent graduate of a St. Louis Region nursing program and a DACA recipient. Kelly Gillespie is a professor at the Center of Health Law Studies at St. Louis University. Thank you for joining us today to discuss Missouri's restrictions on who can become registered nurses. Coming up, an update on a lawsuit that challenges Missouri's gender-affirming care restrictions. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyle.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.